Thank you, Lord, that once again we do get to open your word. I pray that today's little short message will be a message that brings hope and clarity as to how we can relate better with people around us and with you. Help us to just continue to grow in you and to know you more and to share your goodness and your kindness and your mercy and your presence with all those around us. Your holy name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, this week, Kathy and I got to go to Cannon Beach. Well, we had to go. It was requirement of our job. And had a pretty good time hanging out with missionaries. A lot of them we hadn't seen for a while and got to get reacquainted, you know, on that annual basis and eat meals together and fellowship together and walk the beach and whatnot. So it was nice. We'll talk more about that maybe later. But today we're back in Mark. Believe it or not, can you think we're in Mark 1, 29 to 39, and I'm titling today's message, Connections, and it's going to be brief because then we're going to show a video that John Adams wanted us to share with everybody. He's the director of Village Missions, and so kind of just a little expose of where the mission is now and how you guys all fit in with that, so... Mark 1, verse 29, you're going to find that on page 1528 in the Pew Bibles, Mark 1, 29. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. Looking at some of the connections in this passage, first of all, they're leaving the synagogue. The connection that Jesus had was, and the same with Apostle Paul, anytime they'd go into a community, they'd go to the synagogue and they would teach there. He was considered a rabbi, and so as a rabbi, he could go in and he could share and teach. Their setup was a little bit different than we've done in the traditional American churches. Seems like in the traditional American churches, there's just, you know, a leader or pastors and that's who leads the services, but I know when Kathy and I got to worship with Friends Meeting with Quakers, it was a meeting of silence, and we would all just wait on the Lord, and sometimes someone would get a word, and they would stand up and share that. And it's something that I think most of us aren't real good at, is not having the leader, and also not having all of our time filled with noise. Sitting in silence was a beautiful thing. It's something that I appreciate and enjoy. I don't know that everyone does. I think if you're trying to listen to the radio, radio silence isn't so good because you don't know if you've got a station or not. But if you're with people in community, sometimes the best time with friends is just sitting with them and being with them and having their presence there and not having to worry about whether or not you have conversation. You might not have anything brand new to share. You don't have to rehash old things. You can just be together. And then as you're together, sometimes things will come up in your mind, and two people meditating in the same room can find common experience and work together in communication, whether it's verbal communication or just being together. So when they go to the synagogue, it was not uncommon for one person to get up and speak for a while. And then for them actually one person would sit down and speak for a while. A lot of the other people were standing. And so it was, you know, just one of these things where you'd have multiple speakers potentially, and it may take hours and hours. People would just kind of, they wouldn't go there with a set agenda. They would go there and hopefully wait on the Lord. Now, I know a lot of people, when you do that, end up bringing their own agenda into it. That happened at the Friends meeting as well, where sometimes people would show up and try to push their agenda each week, and then the Committee on Ministry and Oversight would go and speak with them privately and just kind of coax them to try to listen to God and not try to bring them their own message each week. And sometimes that was well received, and they would grow and learn from it, and sometimes they'd get upset and leave and never come back. And either way, it helped the meeting. So it's good to have opportunities to meet together. So Jesus is going into the synagogue with his followers. And it says here, when they left the synagogue, so there's a group of people hanging out together. So they're going as a group, almost a family. They went with James and John, two of the fishermen that had been called previously. And they went to the home of Simon and Andrew. It's interesting that Mark, who probably got most of his information from Simon Peter, mentions Andrew also. The other Gospels, when they give this account, just say that they went to Peter's house or to Simon's house. It's apparently a really large house. People that have been to the Holy Land, that have been to Capernaum and seen this home, they're pretty sure they've got the right one. And it really large home. Well, it would kind of have to be to have multiple generations and lots of people there. Simon and his brother Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law is there. So she's in bed and she's sick. And Jesus finds out about it. And it's kind of like the friends and family discount, you know, where your friends and family are going to get the best benefits out of whatever you're able to work with or do. If you own a company and your friends want to buy something, a product of yours, they can get a little bit of a discount. When we go to Smokey's, because we're local here, we get a discount. It's kind of a cool thing that people take care of their own. And here Jesus is with Simon and his brother Andrew, and of course James and John come along with them. So you got all this kind of family feeling. Simon and Andrew and James and John may have been related too. It's really hard to tell with church history and different commentaries that I read. They may or may not have been related. But at any rate, we know a few things from here. Simon apparently had been married, at least at one point. So not all the apostles were single. And he may have still been married here. We don't know for sure. Church tradition does have him being married for quite a while and then having children and actually bringing the children along with some of the missionary journeys that Jesus took with him. At any rate, he's in his house and he's taking care of his mother-in-law. So there's another generation of care here, the relationships that are going on. And Jesus cares about Simon and Andrew, and apparently through that he also cares about the mother-in-law. He finds out she's sick, he goes to her, and she's healed, and she's able to get up. And then, of course, then she cares about everybody around her, and typical, it's like, you know, matriarch of the family finds out, okay, I'm feeling better now, I guess I'm going to serve everyone. You know, how many of us know that grandma that would just take care of whoever? They might have been bedridden the day before, but as soon as family shows up, all of a sudden they've got energy and they're serving. And it's this family relationship, these connections. We oftentimes think only of Jesus as you know, with his own family, with Mary and Joseph and his brothers, and they didn't really necessarily accept him that well as the Messiah. But he also kind of joined in with some other families, and in this situation, extended family. And so they're together, they're having some time here. But one of the things that I'm fascinated with is that evening after sunset. So it's after dark. All these people are coming to the house. They found out Jesus is there. They might have even heard that Simon's mother-in-law was just healed. They've heard about some of the other miracles that he's done. He's healed before. This isn't the first time. And so when they find out he's there, they start bringing people. And again, it's the connections, the friends and family. It's like, how often was it the sick person that heard it and went on their own, or somebody else heard it and said, hey, I know somebody that could really use his help. They grab him and take him there. Word of mouth is a huge way to grow a movement business or anything else. And in this situation, a lot of people had heard about Jesus. They'd heard he's there. And so they keep bringing people to him. They're bringing him sick people. They're bringing him demon-possessed people. It says the whole town gathered at the door. A number of times in the Gospels, it sounds like, you know, and everybody went out to be baptized by John the Baptizer, and everyone in Galilee heard about this, and the whole town. Sometimes, you know, you look at yesterday, there was a lot of people in this town, and it seemed like the whole town was out there. But I didn't see Nancy and Rich, and I wasn't there the whole day. There were a lot of people in the town that were probably hiding out in their homes because it's just uncomfortable to have that many people around. And you know, there's a lot of stuff going on. And it seemed like the whole town was involved in the planning and the implementation of Tunnel Day. And there was just so much happening. It felt like the whole town is there. And so somebody says the whole town was out there having a good time. Nobody's going to dispute that or start arguing and fighting with them, because there might have been some individuals in the town that weren't there. But obviously there's quite a gathering going on outside of Peter's house. And while that's happening, Jesus, I'm assuming, went out to them. They may have come in as well. I mean, it's a big house. So Jesus healed many who had various diseases. So a lot of things going on. And he also drove out many demons. And then it mentions here again that he told them not to speak about him. And he doesn't want the demons to be his witness. He'd rather that it be the people that he's training and they're being led by Holy Spirit to be his witness. But the next thing that happens, it sounds like it was probably a pretty long evening and pretty draining. If you've ever spent that kind of time and caring for everybody around you, sometimes you just need to get alone. And even Jesus, he goes early in the morning. It's still dark. So we know that these people were coming to him after dark, and it's still dark, and he's up, and he goes off to find a solitary place, a quiet place, where he prayed. His connection with the Father continued, and everything that he did was done because the Father was guiding him and directing him. And I think sometimes it's just that the temptation is, well, there's a lot that needs done, and I'm going to just have to be up and doing it and going and going and going. And we forget that part of breathing is inhaling before we can exhale. Part of life is that solitary time, that time alone. If you're constantly going, 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 you're going to burn yourself out. And Jesus was wise and stepped aside. But I love that this is recorded in Scripture, not just here, but other places, where he would go to a place just to pray, just to be with the Father, just him and his dad, hanging out, having conversations, doing what they would do. Of course, the rest of the guys get up and they're like really buzzed, you know, looking, remember all those things we did last night? There's probably more sick people, you know, and they want to direct him. And so, you know, they start looking for him, and they found him, and probably not too many places to hide in a small community like that. And they come to him and they say, everybody's looking for you. It may not have been everybody, again, you know, this hyperbole, but everyone's looking for you. James, you ever feel like that, where you just need to get away and everybody's looking for you? They need you now. They, you know, can't get along for 5 minutes without the fire chief coming to help them out. It's just, here's, you know, Jesus is trying to find some quiet time, some alone time. Everyone's looking for you. And so the tendency then for most of us is like, oh, everybody's looking for us. I better get back to work. I better get back to these people. Jesus has just spent time connected with the Father, though. And his reply to them, he says to them, let us go somewhere else. They're all looking for me. Let's go somewhere else. There's nearby villages. There's other places that I can preach to. There's other synagogues. There's other communities. There's other people that are in need. And he says, that's why I've come. That's why I'm here. I'm here on earth to reach everyone. So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. Now, I'm going to close my part of the message at this point and just mention, John Adams asked that we, as Village Missionaries, share this video with our congregations. And he shared some thoughts and some insights concerning the ministry of Village Missions and how each of you, individually, in the congregation, are connected with the ministry and with the mission. It's about 14 minutes. For those that get this online, Nick, Marion, Larry, Karen, and others, family, there's a link here, and if you just follow the link, you'll be able to get to this video. It's about a 14-minute video, and at this point, I think Kathy's going to put the video up.